Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I'm down at the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is November the 28th, 2024, or is the 27th day of Chislu, 2028. We will start our first service today. Okay. We're going to do track 8, Beit HaHalev, Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We're on page 19, in the middle of the track about, and we're going to start here with, we'll be a theocracy, okay? It says, as the Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Testimonies to Ministers, page 300. Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of Jacob again becoming a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one head, Hosea 1:11, David their king, Hosea 3:5, and seek the Yahweh, their Yahweh, it is evident that the church in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message will be a theocracy. Alright. For the scepter shall not depart from the Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the Shiloh come. Shiloh is Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and a princess shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of the water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock and a weary land, Isaiah 32:1-2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor of his Father, the Mighty Yahweh. And the Everlasting Father. Yahshua is this Prince of Peace, the Son. Of the increase of his government, that's the Prince of Peace, Yahshua, and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and with the justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, of the host, will perform this. For the Yahshua sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Isaiah 9:6-8. Behold, the Yahshua will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. That's the house of David. That's the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, and the 12th parabolic tower. Behold, his reward is with him. He will then give them their kingdom, and his work before him. He will then gather his people, Isaiah 40, verse 10. It says that, this shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And Jesse is the father of David and the type. Prophecy, it prophesies Isaiah in the figurative depiction of this glorious triumph of the Yahweh's purpose, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the spirit of the Yahweh shall rest upon him, as the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, as the spirit of the counsel and might, as the spirit of the knowledge, and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity. For the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness as the girdle of his reign, as the 11:1-5. In this illustration, there are three persons brought to view. Jesse, as the father of the ancient David, typical, and the rod David, and the branch, Yahshua. For the relationship showed that David, the rod, is not the Yahshua, the branch, for the rod sprang from the stem of the Jesse, and the branch from the rod, a fact which is borne out in this cry of the multitude when the Messiah entered Jerusalem, for they shouted Hosanna unto the son of David. And that's 21:15. Plainly therefore, the rod coming from the stem of the Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the son of David as the Messiah. Upon this instant, branch and rod, the spirit of the Yahweh, the Father, shall rest as the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, as the spirit of the counsel and might, as the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his ring. Isaiah 11:2-5. So, though the ensign emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse the Reed, David the Rod, and the Messiah, the branch, yet the power and wisdom of the Messiah, this is underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says the Messiah, I am the Reed, and the offspring of the David, and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Bearing out that he is all and in all. Since therefore, from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, the Messiah, David as a visible king and the Messiah as the invisible king of kings, shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest, or his resting place, the location where the rod or the ensign stand, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60:13, saith Yeshua, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I, the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, will be their invisible king, and my servant David as a prince among them, for I, the Yahshua, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of the peace. Okay, a covenant of the peace. And it will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safe in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25. This his church, or the kingdom, is again reflected without the spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. A theocracy of the peace, safety, and invincibility, under the rule of the one shepherd and a king, David, as a servant. But the fact that many kings reigned over Israel may, in the minds of some, give rise unto the question, why David as a child? Inevitably, because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype, the leadership in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message. This being so, then it necessarily follows that the King Saul is the first king who reigned over the Israel, and who was largely responsible for the early expression of the David's life. As a type of the church leadership and the period preceding the loud cry of the third angel, the loud cry of the leadership, which was raised up in 1844 and for the sole purpose of the gathering of the 144,000 as the first fruits of the kingdom. In each case, type perfectly matches antitype. On the account of his outwardly kingly appearance, Saul was chosen by the people as the reader will remember, to be their king in spite of Yahweh's disapproval, 1 Samuel 8:7. Then finally, when the Yahweh rejected him and anointed David to be a king in his stead, he was determined to retain the throne by the attempting to kill David, but ended up ever before David ascended it by the deliberately killing himself. 1 Samuel 31:4. Time has already demonstrated that the SDA organization is with the fulfilling, For the time has already demonstrated that the SDA organization is with the fulfilling of the type, preferring to incorporate and to elect officers by the people's vote, for they have thereby manifested that they have cared not so much to please the Yahweh by the being a peculiar people as he would have them to be, as they have to please himself by the being as much as possible like the other denominations. Just as in the Saul's time, the people wanted to be like the nations round about them, 1 Samuel 8:5-7. And although chosen by the people, yet the general compass officers were nevertheless accepted by Yahweh to be the rulers over his people now, as Saul was anciently, just as he betrayed his trust, however, by the disobeying of the word of Yahweh spoken unto him by the prophet Samuel. So the present church organization, the ancient men before the house, have, says the prophet, unto the church today, betrayed their trust, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 211, for a complete ample treatment of the subject of the organization of the church, see our organization manual. For the speaking unto the SDA leadership, the servant of the Yahweh says, you have no right to manage unless you manage in the Elohim's order. Are you under or with the control of the Yahweh? Do you see your responsibility under him, that these men should stand in a sacred place to be as a voice of Yahweh unto the people, as we once believed the general conference to be? That is past. What we want now is reorganization. General Conference Bulletin, 34th Session, Volume 4, Extra Number 1, April 3rd, 1901. Okay, it says, for this revelatory statement conclusively proves that after the historical Minneapolis meeting in 1888, when the leaders rejected both the message and the counsel which was given them, Testimonies, Message, page 468, for the Yahweh did not any longer regard the general conference as his servant, just as he did not any longer regard Saul as the king over Israel, after he turned from the Yahweh's command unto him, and now, having long since granted the popular demand to organize a general conference, the fulfillment of the type, Yahweh warns that his forbearance has come to an end today just as it did then, solemnly declares the spirit of the prophecy for the hour calls for a spiritual revival and a spiritual reformation. Unless this takes place, those who are lukewarm will continue to grow more abhorrent to the Yahweh until he will refuse to acknowledge them as his children. For revival and a reformation must take place with the administration of the Holy Spirit, for the revival and reformation are two different things. Revival signifies the renewal of the spiritual life with the quickening of the powers of the mind and heart with a resurrection from the spiritual death. For the reformation signifies of the reorganization for a chance in the ideas and theories, habits, and practices. Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of the righteousness unless it is connected with revival of the Spirit, revival and reformation, for to do their appointed work. And in doing this work, they must blend for the Messiah our righteousness. Page 154. Reprinted from the Review and Herald, 1902. As the soul's fall came from the neglecting to obey to the letter the word of the Yahweh, and from then excusing his disobedience under or with the pretext that he has spared the best out of the chattel for the sacrifice in the worship unto Elohim, so the present leadership, although commanded to shun all worldly connections and ways and to avoid all manner of the business on the Sabbath, such as selling literature, raising gold, etc., nevertheless disobediently connected with the world and followed in the forbidden paths, even to turn the house of the Yahweh into a house of the merchandise. Testimony by the Volume 8, page 250. In continuing the Saul-like fashion, they plead the extenuation of this disobedient and desecrating course on the ground that such a practice is good missionary work. Thus says the spirit of the prophecy. For a great mistake has been made by some who profess the present truth by the introducing of the merchandise in the course of a series of the meetings, and by their traffic-diverting minds from the object of the meeting. If the Messiah were now upon the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and traffickers, whether they be the ministers or personal or people, with the scourge of the small cord, as when he entered the temple anciently and cast out all of them that sold and brought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of the prayer, but ye have made a den of thieves. I think we left out the word father. It should read, my father's house shall be called the house of prayer, because he had made a den of the thieves. These traffickers might have pleaded as an excuse that the articles they held for the sale were for the sacrificial offering. that their object was to get gain, to obtain a means to accumulate. So it was shown that if the moral and intellectual faculties had not been clouded by the wrong habits of the living, ministers and people would have been quick to discern the evil result of the mixing sacred and common things, for the ministers have stood in the dead and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by the introducing their merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, they had averted the minds of their hearers from the impression received and destroyed by the fruit of their labor. Testimony, Volume 1, 471. Though acknowledging Samuel as the Yahweh's prophet, Saul at the same time deliberately disobeyed his words likewise, though also acknowledging Sister White as the Yahweh's servant, the General Conference said to say, for today, by the course they pursue, denying her authority. This, why the open fact is exposed numerous times in the spirit of prophecy, a representative of the statement being, those who have trusted to intellect, genius, or talent will not then, after the inner purification, stand at the head of the rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light. They are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahweh has a faithful servant who, in the shaking testing time, will be disposed to view. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. If they continue in this state, Yahweh will reject them. Testimony, Volume 6, page 427. Just as the soul's outward show resulted consequently only in his being dethroned by another king, so likewise shall the great men of today, those who are at the head of the work and who trust into the intellect, genius, or talent, be replaced by those who, though not having a political outward appearance, are to be disposed of you at this time as having a polished outward appearance, are to be disposed of you in this time as revealing of the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character. For the further study on the change of the leadership, see our chart number 2, the warning paradox. As the soul furthermore defied the Yahweh by the refusing to abdicate the throne, and by his seeking the life of his anointed King David, so now at the sounding of the trumpet today, we find the General Conference refusing to let the Yahweh take the, the Son of Yahweh take the reins in his own hand. Testimonies to ministers, 300. Then by the attempting to usurp his throne, by the determining that they are to rule the denomination until the end of this world, and they're availing themselves of the every chance for the casting us out of their midst in the order to safeguard their control of it. Those who are doing this are they whom the prophet Ezekiel prophetically heard saying, this city is a cauldron, and we be the fish, Ezekiel 11:3. For they are now doing everything possible for the exalting and for the perpetrating themselves, perpetuating themselves in the power, and to be rid of those who have, in the name of the Yahshua, published peace and brought to them the good tidings that the wicked shall no more pass through the hill, utterly cut off. Okay, it says, they have 1:15, but the city shall not, says Yahweh, be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the fish in the midst of, but I will judge you in the borders of Israel, Ezekiel 11:11. Those who desire to know the truth for themselves as to what kind of the treatment we have received at the hands of the SDH's church official, as did the David at the hands of the Saul, may read our tract number 7, Chauncey Evidences on the Both Sides, before firing for or against. Expecting and the rejection of their message, which has come unto them with the warnings and reproofs, and in the continuing in their evil ways, our brethren are compelling the Yahweh to cut them down by the slaughter weapons of the Ezekiel 9 unless they immediately repent, though on their way to suicide with the sorrow, yet they are saying in their heart, for the Yahweh will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. This peace and safety is a cry from men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet for the shorn of the Yahweh's people of their transgression, and the house of the Jacob for their sins. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who fear the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men and maidens and little children all perish together. Testimony, volume 5, page 211. As the King Saul still further was responsible for the death not only of his sons, but also of the people, 1 Samuel 31:6, so the ministry will be responsible for the men, maidens, and little children who failed to receive the seal and who consequently perished in the slaughter. Nevertheless, despite their great sin and certain doom, David as a type reveals the fact that though we may cut the skirt of their robes while they are bitter and wroth against us and are chasing us around the sheepcote, 1 Samuel 24:3-4, or that we may take the spear and the cruise of the water from their bolster while they are in the deep sleep from the Yahweh, or that we may, as we find them asleep within the trench, or covering their feet in our hiding places, 1 Samuel 26:7-12, have them at our mercy with the power and the opportunity to do them much injury, yet in no case would we hurt them in the least, but rather would befriend them. And while they are persecuting us, as the Psalm persecuted David, everyone that is in the distress, and everyone that is in the debt, and everyone that is in the discontent will, as the type also shows, join us, 1 Samuel 22:2. Whereas all who are neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, satisfied, are with the angel of the church of the latter sin, and the critical danger of the remaining wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and have been as a consequence, spewed out, rejected, cut down, testimony, volume 6, page 427, volume 5, page 80, volume 1, page 190, volume 5, page 21. In the foregoing exposition, we see that those who respond to the Good Shepherd's voice are typified by the David's followers, and that those who do not respond are typified by the Saul and his followers. In the Luke's parable of the Great Supper, the Yeshua again brings into the view both of the classes. On the one hand, with the Saul sympathizers, prefiguring in the parable of those who excused themselves on the ground that they were too busy to with the cares of this life, and who consequently, with the one's consent, began to make excuse for the first saying unto him, I have bought a piece of the ground, and I must go and see it. I pray to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. On the other hand, David, the followers typify those who were found in the streets and lanes of the city, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Luke 14:17-24. Immediately after, the King Saul was informed by the Samuel that because of his unfaithfulness, Yahweh had rejected him as a ruler over his people. For the Samuel was sent secretly for the anointing of the King David to reign in the Saul's stead. And though Saul was told that Yahweh had rejected him, yet he refused to abdicate, with the result that the Philistines were besetting his army. And what about to take the kingdom? For the giant Goliath had stood and cried unto the armies of the Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye are servants unto the Yahweh? Choose me a man for you, and let him come down unto me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servant and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of the Israel this day. give me a man that will bring me fight together. When the Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. 1 Samuel 17:8-11. Though not but is stripping, despised by his brothers, and but lowly regarded by all the others, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, for thy servant David will go and fight with this Philistine. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near unto the Philistine, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face unto the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling of the stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they all fled. 1 Samuel 17:32-40, 49-51. For the David's victory over the giant, against whom no one was able to stand to make war, typifies the victory of the purified church of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44, the house of the David, Zechariah 12:8, in the time of the trouble, and that's what we're entering into right now, that never was, even the beast in his image, and it's for the antitypical, as the antitypical, Goliath, concerning whose formidableness, as the river later asked, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with the beast? For the giant Goliath, accordingly represents those who now defy the service of the Yahweh, and who shall comprise the image of the beast, that religio-political system, which shall defy the armies of the Yahweh, and issue a decree that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the power of his name, and sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:17-15. It didn't say will be killed, it said that they should be killed. But in that day, he said to Yahweh, will I make Jerusalem as a burdensome stone, for all people that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day shall Yeshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is speaking among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as a Yeshua, as the angel of the Yeshua before them. Zechariah 12, 3 and 8. For the five smooth stones in the David's bag, with the one of which he slew the Goliath, typify the fivefold power, and the anatypical shepherd's bag, for the Bible, with the one part of which Yahweh shall today smite the earth, the beast in his image, the nation, the anatypical Goliath. Yahweh shall someday smite the beast in his image, the nations, the anatypical Goliath. And since we know that it is by his word in the form of a message that he shall smite the nation, then obviously the five smooth stones represents five messages. The last of which is to wound the beast, destroy his image, and free the Yahweh people from the fear of the heathen. So, as the five smooth stones in the shepherd's bag are figurative of the five angels' messages, as the messages, therefore, are necessarily scheduled somewhere in the Bible, they are in the Messiah's parable of the vineyard, as the first at the early hour, as Matthew 20, verse 1 through 6, and Moses was the first one at the early hour, the first hour of the daylight, 1500 B.C. with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, the ceremonial system. For the second, at the third hour, at the crucifixion of and resurrection of the Asherah. For the thing, at the sixth hour, the 23rd hundred, 100 days of the Daniel 8:14, the fourth at the ninth hour, the judgment of the dead, and the fifth and last, that's who we are, House of David, and the 12th parabolic hour, it, with the judgment of the living, in the harvest time, verse 60. The time of the large cry which shall wound the beast, and with his own sword, the ten horns of the Revelation, 17:16, cut off his head, and then with the fire destroy him, so that the wound shall never heal again. And the message of the hour, therefore, lies the safety of Yahweh's people for a complete study of the parable of the Matthew 20, verse 1 through 16, and of the base of Revelation 17, read the Shepherd's Rod, volume 2, page 222 and 239, and page 155 and 6. By the proclaiming of the great and the dreadful day of the Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, for a day of the slaughter, Isaiah 66:6, okay, it says Isaiah 30, verse 25. And a day of the darkness, Joel 2:2, this last message is to be shouted at the end of the 11th parabolic hour, starting in 2003 at the termination, just before the time in which as John foresaw the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men. And the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain. And they were bondmen, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's the Revelation 6:15-17. None but the righteous as the future leaders of the church, as David's reign typifies, who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him unto his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him ruler over the king, or the ruler our king, for he gave them as a dust to his sword, and as a driven stubble to his bow, for he pursued them and passed safely even by the way that he had not got gone with his feet. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, and shall be called upon by the Yahweh, and by he shall come upon the princes as upon the mortar, and as the potter of the as a potter treadeth the clay. Isaiah 41:23-25. Behold, I have given him for a witness unto the people, as a leader and commander unto the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not of thee shall ruin unto thee, because of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, and for the Holy One, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Yahshua while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:46. Since for the Elohim's hour and for the prosperity of his people, both the Elijah's message and David's reign takes the lives of many Elijah's message as the lives of the apostasy, as the apostate teachers and the Israel, 1 Kings 18:40, and the David's reign as the lives of the heathen who defied Yahweh and his army, 1 Chronicles 22:6-8. Therefore, the work of the Elijah, and that's our work now, particularly typifies the day of the slaughter in the church and the reign of the antiquity King David, with the destruction of the heathen and the possession of the earth, Zechariah 12:8-9, Jeremiah 30:3-9, whereupon the Messiah, as the King of the David, shall visibly appear by the taking unto himself of his kingdom, Luke 19:15, and glorify it with the everlasting peace, as typified by the peaceful reign of that David it says right here, whereupon the Messiah, the son of David, shall visibly appear, take unto himself his kingdom, Luke 19:15, and glorify it with the everlasting peace, as typified by the peaceful reign of the David's son Solomon. And in the days of these antitypical events shall he be completely realized, the promise. And it shall come to pass, when the days be expired, that thou, David, must go unto be with thy father, lest that I will raise up the seed after thee, which shall be of thy son, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne for ever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will take my counsel from him, as I took it from King Saul that was before thee, 1 Chronicles 17:11-13. When the righteous are in the authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear the rule, the people mourn, Proverbs 29:2. For to the righteous he makes the kingdom his place and protection, and to the heathen Yahweh makes it his battle axe. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of the war, declares the Yahweh in the foreshadowing unto the posterity of Jacob, the ultimate destiny. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces of the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider, and with thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in the pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces husbandman and his yoke of the oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, Jeremiah 51:20-23. For the stone, Daniel 2:45, Zechariah 3:9, with the 144,000, Revelation 14:1, cut out of the mountain, the latest in church, Seventh-day Adventist, without the hands, without the human help, is to break the nations that are symbolized by the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold of the great image, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, so in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be like the not to be left unto other people, but it shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. And thus is our kingdom. Okay, but upon the Mount Zion shall be the deliverance, and there shall be a host. And there shall be holiness, and the house of the Jacob shall possess their possession, and the house of Jacob shall be a flower, and the house of Joseph's flower, and the house of the Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of the Esau. Today that was translated into Gilead's son, Brother Johnson at the helm, as the antitypical Esau, for the Yahshua has spoken it, and they the mount shall possess the mount of the Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the field of the Ephraim and the field of the Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, okay, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even under Zephath, and the captivity of the Jerusalem, which is in the Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south, and the Sadrus shall come upon the Mount Zion for the judgment of the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and it shall come to pass. All right, it says that. And the captivity of this host, let's back up a little further again. It says that. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of the Ephraim, and the fields of the Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of the Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto the Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south, and the Sadrus, 144,000, shall come up on the Mount Zion to judge the Mount of the Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Yahshua's, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered, for in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour in the Jerusalem shall be the deliverance, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. Obadiah 1:17-21 and Joel 2:32. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly destroyed or wasted. Isaiah 60:12. From the foregoing scriptures, we see that as a result of the rejection of the truth proclaimed by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the wickedness go to destruction, and echoing of this prophetic pronunciation or pronouncements of their dream that the Messiah declared, and he that is that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of the iron, as a result or as the feathers of a potter, but as a vessel. Let's read that again. It says, but of the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father, Revelation 2:26-27. He that overcometh, then, the one who is to rule the nations with the rod of the iron, and the need and the work of the overcoming being not his, but his followers, the truth is of it, that the Yahweh will have a victorious nation, a kingdom through which he will manifest his great power, and which shall be a kingdom of the peace. This brings us to our subject, our contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11, click on the audio archive room, close now with a song.